The interviews and discussions on this podcast are opinions only and not financial or investment advice. Listeners should obtain independent advice based on their own circumstances before making any financial decisions. Hello and welcome to Stockhead's Rock Yarn. I'm your host, Peter Strachan. Today, we'll get an update on the graphite market and look at the huge Leyland deposit in the Pine Creek geosyncline up in the Northern Territory. Graphite, which is used in new and emerging battery technologies and many other applications, seems to be the forgotten material in the decarbonising pantheon. To update us on the present state of the graphite market and provide an overview of recent activity, we're delighted to welcome back to Rock Yarn the Managing Director of Kingsland Minerals, Mr. Richard Maddox. Welcome, Richard. Can you remind the listener where Kingsland's Leyland Graphite Project is located and how it actually occurs?
Yeah, thanks, Peter. It's good to talk to you again. Leyland is located in the Northern Territory in Australia. We're about 2 hours' drive, so 200 kilometres south of Darwin, and we're just near the historic gold mining area of Pine Creek. And we've been exploring there for about the last 18 months. And we've just recently released that large resource for our graphite deposit at Leyland.
Yeah, so how big is the deposit? And at current prices, how much of that resource is likely to report to a commercial mineral reserve?
Well, look, the resource was 194.6 million tonnes at 7.3% total graphitic content. That makes us by a fair stretch the largest graphite deposit in Australia, and we're also globally very significant as well. As far as any future prospects for the economics of it, it's very early to say yet on that. There's a lot more work to do to get to that stage, especially with the metallurgy. But I know with the resource, we did do some scenario work on pit optimization shells, and it doesn't take much more above the current price of graphite. Well, fine graphite, let's say around 400 to 500 US per tonne, to get a fairly big pit out of that. So even though the resource wasn't reported, strictly speaking, to a pit shell, a pit shell work was used to report that. So, we're hoping if we get a good product, if we get the right product, which we can find a buyer for, that this will be a very long life operation.
Yeah, so once you get the metallurgy right and you can plug in your costs, you should get a fair chunk of that 194 million tonnes into commercial. And certainly as the prices, I think everyone's projecting a better price, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. From the drilling and sampling along its 30-kilometre length, has Kingsland assessed an overall exploration target beyond, this 194 million tonnes for the graphitic schist?
Well, not yet, Peter. We released earlier last year an exploration target of between 200 and 250 million tonnes at between 8 and 11%, and that was on the area we've currently drilled out now. Not all of that area has been converted into resource, I might say, but we've got 195 million tonnes now at 7.3. I think going forward we might revisit that exploration target because, as you say, we've got about 15 kilometres of strike to the north, which we haven't explored yet. There's no drilling there. We might go back and do some mapping and some chip sampling. There are a few historic holes there with some graphite sampling. We might be able to use those to upgrade the resource, the exploration target. And I would expect if we do that, we might get a fairly sizable target going forward.
Well, I mean, you've already got enough to sort of chew on, I guess. But I think when we spoke last time, you were in the middle of doing some metallurgical testing on the mineralisation. How has that work progressed? What sort of results are you seeing from met testing?
Look, it's a very early stage yet. We collected a sample about 6 months ago from the diamond drilling we did. We selected six drill holes right across the deposit to make it as representative as possible. And the initial work from that, we got around 90% recovery, a bit higher now, up to 93% recovery, and grades of around 90% TGC. Total graphitic content. That sample now, we've moved to a new sample now, which is probably more representative of where an eventual mining target will be on the western side of the resource there, and they're working on that now. Obviously, the aim is to get a grade of around 95% with as high recovery as you can get. I think we were very heartened by that initial sample of 90% grade and 90% recovery, and I think we'll improve on that. We are targeting the areas now which we think have got the best prospects to be a mining target, the shallow areas with good flake size indicated by the thin section work we did. So those results are expected in the next, in coming weeks or the next month or two. But it's a long haul now for the metallurgical test work, and I think we'll be doing that met test work now for quite some time. So
yeah,
if you compare us to a lot of our peers in Australia and overseas in the graphite market, because we're a brand new discovery, we've got no work done at all on the metallurgy, whereas a lot of our Australian peers, for example, have got 10 years worth of work under their belt. So we're starting from scratch here. So like I said, we're very encouraged with those first results, and we'll keep working on that. And I'm pretty confident that we'll get a good grade concentrate, which will be marketable.
So speaking of marketable, it's a commercial sort of industrial mineral, unlike, gold bars or copper concentrate, which are sort of commodities. What are the particular chemical and physical characteristics of this graphite that would lend it to any particular application? You know, there's a great pantheon of uses for graphite in industry, and not the least of which, of course, batteries. But can you see a pathway to market for that product?
That's the aim. Again, it's early stages yet. You know, we've only just started the metallurgical test work. You mentioned, gold and copper. You know, those are commodities which you can take down to the Perth Mint, say, and they'll buy as much as you give them, or you can trade it on the London Metals Exchange. You know, graphite's a bit different. There's no transmerit open market like that. And also graphite, there are lots of different products that come out of the same deposit. So we're working on now to work out what our end product will be. You know, our aim is to feed into the battery market for EV and other battery storage batteries. I think, the very initial work we've done with the good recoveries, the good grades, and also the flake size from the thin section work indicate that we will have a product which will be amenable for that. But like I said, there's still a lot more test work to go.
Yeah.
But our end aim is to, and given our location just near the Port of Darwin, our end game, I think, it's a bit aspirational, I suppose, at this stage, given it's so early, but we'd like to be in a position to supply the Asian market, say in Japan, South Korea, et cetera, with good quality flat graphite or even more refined product like spherical graphite. But we'll wait and see what the test work tells us.
So, I mean, we're getting on to the logistics of that area, and what access to infrastructure does the project offer in terms of transport, power, ports? You know, you said that's, you've got a port just in Darwin.
Oh, look, it's fantastic. You know, it's you wouldn't find a better spot anywhere, I don't think, for a deposit like this. 2-hour drive south of Darwin. We've got rail access right to the port. If we go down the route of transporting it by rail or concentrate by rail, we've got high voltage power lines. We've got gas pipelines. We've got sealed highways. We've got a service centre at Pine Creek, which provides fuel and accommodation and things like that. So it's a great location to develop a project like this. So we're well placed to be able to, I wouldn't say fast track it, but I guess the logistics will help expedite the whole process, I think.
Are there any possible byproduct credits from this mineralisation?
We have had a few little sniffs in some of the sampling we've done, or the assaying we've done on the samples. I think we've recently announced that we had some significant gallium assays in the graphitic schist. The focus now is on getting the graphite out of there for the test work. But once we get that sort of metallurgical processing route for graphite worked out, we'll look at where that gallium is as well. So, it'll be in some part of that rock type, whether it's in the micas or associated with sulfides, perhaps. We'll wait and see. There are some areas of the deposit where you might have 10% sulfides in the graphitic schist. And I'll also look at the idea of getting a float of the sulfides there and seeing what grades are in that as well, because this area was historically explored for copper and base metals. So if we do get a sulfide concentrate there with decent credits of base metals, that might be worth something as well. And if we're lucky, the gallium might report to that. But we don't know yet. There's more test work to do. But there is potential for byproduct credits there, I think.
And gallium used in computer chips, and so it's all sort of part of the decarbonisation pantheon.
Oh, that's right, yeah. That's a critical mineral in most jurisdictions now for the for high-end use electronics and computer chips and things like that. So, again, like graphite and a lot of those rare earth type of elements, it's dominated by the one market out of China. So, people are looking to diversify. So if we can help them with that, we'll be trying our hardest.
What further plans does the company hold for this project as the northern Australian dry season approaches? And of course, it's been an incredibly wet season and continues as we speak here in end of March, early April. It's still raining. But so once access is available, what are the plans over the next 6 months or so there?
Yeah, our focus now will be on getting this metallurgical test work done and getting a processing route for the graphite concentrate, and that'll be our main focus. There's still more drilling to do. It's an inferred resource, so we'd like to upgrade at least part of it, you know, the initial, probably the shallower parts with a higher grade, which might make up an initial mining target. We'd like to get that up to an indicated resource, so we'll do some drilling in the dry season when that actually happens, because it's like you said, it's pretty wet at the moment. And you know, we're also, you know, looking at possibly collecting some more diamond drill core for metallurgical test work as well. I think, you know, the steps now are all designed at de-risking the project. You know, the first one is, you know, we know we've got a big resource there now. The drilling last year proved that up. The next step is to de-risk it to prove that we can get a concentrate of good grade and good recoveries. And then the next step after that is to get some concentrate further tested for downstream processing to see if we can make spherical graphite out of it, which is, you know, a precursor for EV batteries.
So the pathway to market now for you is to do that metallurgical test work, look at the potential for value adding in terms of, you know, battery anode material, actually from graphite concentrate to battery anode material, and then you get a big jump in price for the product that you can sell.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. First step, let's get a concentrate. And that's marketable in itself. We can sell the concentrate if it meets specifications to other parties overseas. That's great. I'd like to investigate, you know, pretty fully the idea of downstream processing up in Darwin as well. So we'll look at, you know, the viability of producing micronized graphite or spherical graphite and those sort of products as well. To see whether we can do that in the Northern Territory, you know, probably in Darwin, and take that as well and sell that to outside markets. But, you know, again, there's a lot of work to do before we get to that stage, but that's our target at this moment.
Can you just update the listener as to recent events in the graphite market? What impact has the Chinese regulations over the access to its exports been having on price and availability of graphite pricing generally and production, and is production, do you think, responding to the rapidly expanding market for graphite in electric vehicles?
Well, look, it's a tough one to answer that, you know, really, because like I suggested before, it's not a transparent market, graphite. There are lots of different products. It's been traditionally dominated by the one supplier and downstream processor, and that's China. They've been the largest, miner of graphite for a long time, and they're the largest producer of spherical graphite for EV battery use. So it's not a very open market. But you know, they recently, and China obviously recognises that. So they recently introduced in December last year export restrictions on flake graphite and downstream process products from China. So that's sort of woken up a lot of the rest of the world that, you know, all of the graphite eggs are in that one basket in China. And it makes sense to diversify away. So I think you're seeing now a lot of governments in North America, European Union especially, looking to diversify their source of graphite and also setting up their own facilities in those areas to produce the battery anode material as well, which is the spherical purified graphite, which is used in the batteries. So, look, the price hasn't responded yet. I note that Benchmark Mineral Intelligence, who are one of the analysts in the graphite market, have recently started quoting a North American price for graphite, for flake graphite, whereas previously it was all out of China. So I think the market is waking up to the need for graphite for batteries, and also the fact that the market has traditionally come from one source, which is always a bit risky. So, you know, it'll diversify away. So most of the producers outside of China have been in places like West Africa and not much in Europe, not much in North America. So I think you'll find a lot of diversification away from – Sri Lanka as well. So I think you'll find a lot of diversification away from those traditional suppliers into jurisdictions like Australia and Canada to produce graphite to the Western world, you know, because, you know, we know Australia especially and also, say, Canada are reliable suppliers of mineral commodities. So if they can do the same for graphite, that obviously gives a bit more flexibility to consumers to where they get it from.
So, Richard, I guess that begs the question, have you been getting any unexpected telephone calls from people wanting to take you out for a cup of coffee to talk about your project and whether they might be able to play a part and help you out?
Now, look, that's funny you should say that, Peter, and we haven't rehearsed this at all. There's been no rehearsing for this, but you know, the answer is yes, we have. You know, and I can't say any names, obviously, because it's very early stage introduction sort of stuff, because we've got no test work to give people really at this stage. But yes, some of those consumers of flake graphite who make battery products are looking at Kingsland, and I think given the size of the deposit and the location, there is a potential long-term supply source there. So yes, we are on people's radar. And I think as we progress the project and get and de-risk it and get more confidence in what we can produce, I think those talks will become a lot more official.
Just finally, what's Kingsland's plans for its Lake Johnson lithium project? I know you picked that up last year and you've done some early work.
That was part of the float. We had one tenement there as part of our IPO nearly 2 years ago. And the idea being in the wet season up in ENT, we can work down here in Western Australia and develop that project. It was bought for the nickel potential originally. Yeah. We went down and took some soil samples late last year and got some good lithium results in the soil samples. We knew there were some pegmatites logged in the old nickel exploration done about 20 years ago. So we knew there was prospectivity there. And that that prompted us to peg some more tenements to the south and to the north. So it's quite a large tenement holding now. I think it's one of the largest tenement holdings in the Lake Johnson area. We've just completed another soil sampling program a few weeks back, and we expect results from that in the coming weeks. We've got a POW approved for some air core drilling as well, just to see what's underneath the surface there, because our soil anomalies are as good as, or if not better than, other people's in the area who've gone in there and hit some lithium-bearing pegmatite. So I think there's good prospectivity there. Again, early days, we've got some nice soil anomalies over several kilometres of strike length, so it's it looks pretty good. So watch this space for that.
Oh, well, I hope that program of work comes up trumps. Now, what's Kingsland's expected news flow over this year from its uranium and graphite projects?
Well, look, on the graphite side, it's again, it's all about the test work. I think, it's all about the metallurgy. I think we will progress the project this year. We've got a resource now, so we can apply for a mining lease there as well. So we'll progress that and all of the associated flora and fauna studies and negotiations with the Northern Land Council around there and things like that. So that'll take some time, so we'll progress that. We'll probably do some drilling a bit later in the dry season to upgrade the resource to indicators, so that'll be news flow coming out in 2024. We'll get that the lithium soil sampling back soon, and then we'll follow that up with some drilling programs later this year as well. On the uranium side of things, we listed on the uranium project up near the Leyland Graphite Project. It's on the same tenement, actually. At this stage, that's, I guess you'd say it's on the back burner because we're focusing on the graphite, but there's still upside there for some more drilling to extend the resource. So, look, it's we can't drill all these things at once. So, we're prioritising the graphite and also the lithium at this stage in Western Australia. But I'd just like to remind everyone who's listening that we have got a uranium deposit there containing 5 million pounds of uranium as well.
Yeah, and at $85 a pound at the moment, it's not to be sneezed at. So looks like you've got your hands, both hands firmly on this graphite project, and there's a lot to do. So we look forward to have you in again later in the year, Richard, and update us on that metallurgy as the results come through. So thanks for coming into Stockhead today.
No worries, Peter. Good to talk to you, and I'm looking forward to updating you in a few months' time with some nice metallurgy, that's right, and some lithium results.